Blog Talk Radio.
That's hilarious.
Fellow Americans, it is with the utmost pride and sincerity that I present this recording as a living testament and recollection of history in the making during our generation.
Allow me to reintroduce myself.
My name is...
What?
My name is...
Dr. Drake.
Yeah.
Sir Robert Ford.
Okay, we get it. Start the show.
Start the show. Move the shape.
Yes, sir. Another fantastic edition of Talking Sports with the 12th minute kicking off for you guys on this amazing September 14th date. Shout out to my big sis. Her birthday was yesterday too, but I just want to show her some love too. So she had a birthday yesterday. We're not going to get too wild like last night, the Raiders and the Ravens, but fun stuff too. And shout out to you, Rob, because I was actually DJing an event on Friday night. And I actually met one of the she was the director of tourism for Louisiana, state of Louisiana. And it was cracking me up, man, because they were all like, you got to play some Louisiana music. And so I'm throwing in some Lil Wayne because, you know, it was hilarious. So, you know, Lil Wheezy. And then they asked for the song that's called I'm From Louisiana, Bitch. And it was, I don't know what song that was, but that's what they wanted to hear. It was like, I'm From Louisiana, Bitch. I was like, what is this?
Wow.
I don't even know. It was like,
I gotta look that one up.
Anyway, it was one of those weird times. No, it was different. It was a different type of party, let's just say. It kind of went a little crazy, so that's all I'm going to
say. Yeah, they didn't actually play New Orleans second line music?
No, they weren't going that. They wanted to get rowdy, so it wasn't that kind of a crowd, you know, man. So, again, but it's all good. But, you know, let's dive into this. We've got a lot of things to discuss, as always, in Talking Sports. I think we have the crew here. Let's check in. Rob, how are you doing this evening? Jakey's not in the chat yet or in the Zoom yet, but it's all good. So we'll start with you for sure, man. So how you doing?
Oh, man, feeling great. Had a good evening this evening. My wife's birthday is tomorrow, so we got off to an early start.
Happy birthday, Gina.
Birthday. And my sister joined us. She just so happened to be in town here in Tampa. So, the three of us went out and had a nice meal. You know, had some really good sea bass. You know, you had to have some asparagus in there. Do some scallops in there, too, and tomatoes.
I knew it was coming.
Oh, yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. It had started off right with a little calamari.
Rob is always a foodie, man. I can't be mad at you, though, man, because, you know, always in there. But we got to talk about your asparagus problem, though. But other than that, I'm glad you had a good time with that too, man. It's all good.
Good for you, man.
JQ. Yeah, we know. I'm just giving you a hard time. JQ, what's going on, boss? You doing good, sir? We make a peace.
No, man, it sucks.
What's up, JQ?
It all sucks. You can just skip over me. I'm here so I don't get fined.
I mean,
you don't get fined.
Channeling is Marshawn Lynch over there. JQ, we always talk. This is a great place for therapy. So just remember, you got your boys here. We kind of talk about some things. The Bengals are looking good. Saints are obviously looking good. I mean, my Falcons look like crap, man. So I figured, you know, y'all didn't console me or say anything to me, man. But it's all good. So, but we'll dive into that as well, you know, and. Checking in with Curtis. Curtis, even though the Cowboys
it's
lost,
just week
that
one,
was
though.
A very exciting game. I was ready to crap on the Cowboys, but I guess now I can't really talk any type of ish because the Cowboys played well. So how you doing, Curtis?
Well, you know, the Cowboys lost, and that was a down, you know, a little bit of down. But what Oregon did.
Godfather.
Oregon. You know, picked it up for the whole West, for the Pac-12 conference. Historic, what people are talking about up here. That was big, and that was nice. And so what the Cowboys did up here can't compare to what Oregon did. And
okay, it's one game. That's the first time y'all have ever beat us. It was a lot.
You know, that was amazing. And I want to
thank you. We were talking about this.
I want to say from Gary's not going to be with us tonight, but right. Gary sends his love. And Gary, we got to get to a funeral on Saturday. And maybe we can turn the corner. Maybe we can turn the corner.
Good stuff. Well, like I said, I think we figured that was the case. And I want to say that, Rob, if you get a chance to fly out there, just definitely show our give our, you know, obviously regards to his family, too, because we got a couple of things that we got. I know I've got an event, but, you know, obviously, Gary's our guy, too. So we'll have fun with that.
Yeah, I am planning on going. I am planning on flying out there on Friday night. Yeah, so good stuff.
Well, we're not going to – hopefully we'll get JQ's mind off of that, too. That was historic. But, you know, again, it's, you know, I guess the Bengals can help him out. But we'll keep this movement here. And let's kind of, like, ping on the topics. And I'm actually going to let JQ kind of talk about what he wants to talk about. You can pick your topic, kind of leading us off, and then I can kind of do, like, a little handoff like you always did. No, you want to do that? No? I was going to, like, talk about the Raiders.
No, you can
– crazy win. Go ahead.
Mm-hmm. No, you can know how to do that. Do it how you normally do it.
Okay. All right. Rob, start us off, bro. That crazy win last night at the Raiders, man.
Oh, I tell you what, man. I know we texted a little bit, but that was a heck of a football game. I mean, obviously,
the
Ravens got off to a 14-0 lead. And, hey, Derek Carr with 430-some yards passing last night, a few touchdowns. It wasn't a perfect game from Derek Carr. He got off to a rough start. I think he had one stretch where he had like 6 to 8 straight incompletions. So definitely wasn't a perfect game for him, but you saw some competitive fire in him, which you really haven't seen much from. Yeah, so a tremendous football game. Was really impressed with the pass rush that the Raiders' defensive line was able to provide in that game. So overall, you know, really impressed with their football team. Obviously, the Ravens had some turnovers in that game that really cost them, right? Obviously, the Lamar Jackson with the two fumbles really cost them in that football game. The Raiders had short field and they could score on both of those turnovers. And even the Raiders almost blew it in overtime, right? But he got a second opportunity.
They won it.
Thanks to the sack fumble on Lamar Jackson, right? So just a real competitive football game. Obviously, with the Ravens, a lot of concern with a lot of the injuries they're having already. And then really looking at that football game last night, the offensive line did not play well at all. So it's going to be real concerning. I think they're still going to be a competitive team this week. I know I shocked quite a few people when I said I didn't think the Ravens were going to make the playoffs last week on the show. I think they'll still have a chance, obviously. But I just don't think we're going to have the same Ravens team that we saw here the last couple of years. A lot of question marks with the injuries, question marks on the offensive line. I think defensively, obviously the secondary took a beating last night. So it's going to be interesting to see how much success Patrick Mahomes has against him after seeing what Derek Carr did to him last night. So we'll see how that goes this upcoming weekend. I think it's going to be a real interesting game. But I just don't think we're going to see the Ravens team that we saw the last 2 years.
Probably not.
Yeah, now the injuries have caught up to him, most definitely. You can tell. That defense didn't necessarily get out behind it after seeing what they're normally doing. Now, part of that reason is when you lose, you know, Marcus Peters and Jimmy Smith, and you got to bring in your third and fourth and fifth cornerbacks in the field, most people don't have 5 all-pro quarterbacks. You know, they did good to have 2.
Yep.
They both hurt. So, you know, you saw that on the last play of the game when Marlon Humphrey just got burnt. You know, the schematics was bad, how they lined up the field. It's hard to overcome. We only have 63 men active on a roster. And keep having people go down, below the injuries are going down for them because it's up to anybody. So I think that's what it is. But you got to give the Raiders credit for hanging in there. Because when they got to be like 14-9, I thought they were going to their doors blown off. But they hung in there and came back. But like you said, Lamar Jackson has to hold on to the football. Pretty simple, but, you know, got to get ready to scrape. They hung in there one, but, your prediction from last week is looking better and better all the time because they lost their offensive tackle in that overtime as well. So, it's not good.
Still just one game, though. And the thing about it, after week one, you got 16 to go this year.
But that's one of those ones that, like, Tampa struggled a little bit, Dallas, they found a way to win. So you feel like when you look at that schedule, that was a win for Baltimore that they just gave away. So,
one game with this team, I'm going to make a break here.
I want to talk about the Cowboys were too busy kicking field goals when you got Gronk going in the end zone. But I did say
they were too busy missing them, too. They missed
they
a few.
Left
they should have
too
made
much time. You don't leave Brady. I would like to see Brady do what Carr did, 30 seconds on the 30-yard line and beat you. He probably can, but that's better than giving him a minute and 30 because you know, and giving him only a field goal to beat you. He's going to beat you. If you only leave him a field goal and you leave him some time, what do you expect? So that was that. But I want to say this. The team that had my mouth drop was Arizona. Kyler Murray and that Hopkins guy. They are something. Their defense is no joke. They're going to be trouble. They look good. But you can't really take anything from week one. For me, it takes all the way into week four before you can figure out who's going to be who. But Arizona, they have my mouth open.
Good stuff. Just a quick side note about the aforementioned Tom Brady, and you know how I feel about Tom Brady. You know, there's some a lot of hate about him, but it's funny because you know, I was in another fantasy league draft, and I let an auto draft for whatever, so I got in there late, and it actually picked up Tom Brady for me on my squad, so I was pretty pissed off that I got Tom Brady as a quarterback. So the guy, one of my buddies knew that I hate Tom Brady. He tried to offer me, Tua for Tom Brady because he knows of my disdain for, Tom Brady. And I'm like, bro, I'm not that stupid. I mean, I know I hate Tom Brady, but I'm not going to trade you for Tua, even though he had Trevor Lawrence as a quarterback. But he was trying to play off of my hate of Tom Brady to try to get me to try to screw me over. So anyway, that's a little side note, as far as, how much I got damn Tom Brady on my damn fantasy league team. So it's just freaking haunts me to this day. But anyway, let's move on here. I'm okay. I'm all right.
To Curtis' comments on the Arizona Cardinals really quick, I agree, man. They could be a really scary team. I mean, they've improved tremendously on the defense side of the ball. I mean, Chandler Jones, 5 sacks. What, he had 2 or 3 in the first quarter? That's a man. That defense is going to be much improved. Buda Baker, obviously, is a tremendous football player. They got some talent on the defense side of the football. And then on the offensive side of the ball, too, Kyler Murray really cut up. Hey, NFC West is going to be wild this year. It's going to be a fun division to watch because all four of those teams are capable of winning that division. So it's going to be wild division. And, you can have – I don't think all four of those teams are going to playoffs, but it's possible because you got 3 wild cards in each conference now. But I don't see all 3 of them coming up. But I could definitely see maybe 2 coming out of there because we kind of think whoever wins the NFC East is going to be one team. And the way the North is going right now, it may be one team. And maybe you get 3 out of the West and 2 out of the South maybe. But, that West is loaded. It is loaded.
Good stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Good stuff. Let's talk about some of the things. I know we're going to talk about this for fantasy, but what happened to Josh Allen against the Steelers? I'm going to save that special one for JQ.
Yeah, what did happen?
I should have stayed with my original pick last week with Pittsburgh. I mean, they just, I don't know. I didn't really pay too much attention to that game because I was actually at the Falcons game. And I was watching the Bengals game on the TV in the suite. So I saw when I last looked up Buffalo was winning. And then I got back out to my neck of the woods and was like, wait a minute. Buffalo lost to Pittsburgh? But then I saw all that craziness happening in the second half, and it's just one of those things that they're going to play good defense both of the time, Pittsburgh, that is. So you're not necessarily just going to boat race them and get out on top of them. But, you know, they rattled it, and it happens. And plus, he might have been drinking too much of his own Kool-Aid, too much type for the Bills in the offseason, me included. So maybe that's what they needed.
Yeah, you know, I did have the opportunity to watch a good bit of that football game, and Pittsburgh's defense in that game was outstanding. You got to give them a lot of credit. I mean, they confused Josh Allen. They gave him a lot of different looks in that football game, and their defense won that game because Pittsburgh's offense, Ben Roethlisberger, wasn't that great. And then they got a block punt for a touchdown to Pittsburgh, obviously, so that came up big, but. Their defense was flat out phenomenal in that football game. I think, and his secondary was great. I think Josh Allen had what 20 something incompletions in that game, and defense was outstanding. Josh Allen to me was a legitimate MVP because, I mean, he could still very well be, right? That's just one game, but I mean it pretty much contained and. Josh Allen shut him down the entire football game. I mean, they didn't give him anything. So, obviously, Pittsburgh looks very formidable, especially with that defense.
Nice. Anything else for that, Curtis? Okay. All good. Let's keep this moving, gentlemen. So, I want to talk briefly about just as I'm looking over a couple of things, I'm looking over, you know, game stuff and grand strategy. We'll talk briefly about what just happened to my job. Oh, Curtis dropped for some reason. I don't even know. Okay. Rob, you still on there, right?
I'm here.
Okay. Somebody dropped. Okay. Rob, let's talk about what's happening with freaking Aaron Rodgers, Aaron over here. What's next for him? Look, he wanted no part. Look, he's ready to play Jeopardy. What happened with him?
Well,
congrats to him.
First off, you got to give JQ credit. I mean, he picked the Saints on last week's show. Not too many people did. And I think he hit it on the head last week when he talked about the Packers' offensive line situation. David Bakhtiari, obviously out, they're one of the better offensive linemen. And they had a lot of young guys in their offensive line, and Aaron Rodgers didn't have any protection. The Saints harassed him the entire football game. They put a lot of pressure on him. They only sacked him twice, but they hit him like 7 or 8 times. They had hands in his face throughout the football game. It was, you know, obviously it's still one game, right? Do I think Aaron Rodgers is going to be responding? And then when you look at the turmoil he and the Green Bay organization has had off season, I guess it should have been somewhat, I guess hindsight is 2020, but should have been somewhat expected, and he didn't play much in the preseason. I don't know, he didn't play at all in the preseason. And then he comes out like that with all the turmoil that they've had. It should have been somewhat expected. I do think it may take them another week or two before they fully turn it around, and obviously they got to get healthy on the offensive line if they're going to have any chance. But he didn't have a chance. He didn't have any kind of protection. And you got to give the Saints defense a lot of credit, too. They put the pressure on them, but also their secondary – Marshawn Lattimore did a phenomenal job on Devontae Adams and the rest of the secondary. Paulson Adebo, the rookie from Stanford, played phenomenal. Marcus Williams is phenomenal playing center field. So overall, I think their pass rush in the secondary was a big difference. And it really they just didn't give Aaron Rodgers any kind of looks that he needed. But I think Green Bay and Aaron Rodgers is part to blame on this, too, with all the turmoil they had in the offseason.
Yeah, and like I said, I mean, that offensive line is atrocious. And again, they keep just running Devontae Adams out there. And it's like, you know, Mark Rogers is going to take a little bit to get, you know, going there. But like you said, Lattimore, when he plays up to his capability, can go toe-to-toe with the number one wide receiver. So what do you have opposite of Devontae to do anything for? And they still bring Randall Cobb's old ass back. So that ain't going to help nothing. I'm just saying. So you put that against another decent secondary with a bad offensive line. And think about it. You know, I get it. But, you know, they've had the turmoil. But I figured it would do the opposite. People would come out and say, you know what, I'm going to show y'all. Last year wasn't a fluke. They was tripping for that, you know, talking to me about some A, X, Y, and Z. But to keep Aaron Rodgers out of the end zone four quarters, I mean, that is an amazing effort by the New Orleans defense. So you got to give them a ton of credit. I thought New Orleans would win, but I didn't think they would do that. And, you know, Dennis Wilson, oh, it's just about 170 yards, and he's had five touchdowns. Like,
yeah,
they just did what they wanted to Green Bay.
Yeah.
That was shocking.
Yeah, and you got to really, you know, they obviously forced Green Bay into three turnovers in that game. So they got a few touchdowns on short field. So obviously, you know, that took away from some of the yardage. But
what was the last time you backed up for five touchdowns and under 200 yards?
I know.
That's crazy.
That's crazy.
Yeah. But one thing we saw in that game, obviously it's still just one game, but if one thing was in the indication, Sean Payton is going to protect Jameis Winston as much as possible. He's not going to ask him to go out there and throw the ball 40 to 50 times, hopefully. So he's going to protect him. And you know, he just got to make the right decisions. Sometimes you just got to take the dump off fast, you know, take those shots every now and again. And, you know, he hit on that one shot that he got, too.
Yep. Nice ball.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
There's no question about his talent. It's really just his decision-making.
Yeah.
I mean, he was the number one pick for a reason.
Right. Yep.
Yeah, but at the same time, you're a number one pick, and then what do you do in the game? Nothing. Your performance is awful.
Yeah, but I mean, he didn't silence all the doubters this week, but he put something, he makes people be a little quiet because, you know, he's
Trevor Lawrence
was
awful.
Yeah. Well, Trevor Lawrence is a rookie. You got to give him a chance to grow, too. You got to give him a chance.
And then again, just Jacksonville.
Yeah.
You don't expect much from them. Yeah.
So, you know, I'm here in Tampa, and everybody say, oh, yeah, that's just one game out of Jameis. We ain't seen that before.
Yeah. That's
true. Can't ever let nobody get any success, man.
They're already
ready to
they,
go.
They constantly reminded me. You ain't seen the real Jameis yet.
Wow. They are ready to go.
What I want to say about that is Aaron Rodgers this whole summer was a little bit full of himself. And then reality hit. You know. Same with some guys in Jacksonville. Their reality is that coach has never lost, and that quarterback has never lost game one. Well, welcome to the NFL. Not for long.
I've heard that.
You think is,
Urban Meyer might be at USC real soon.
Maybe.
After 1 year, he'll be going back to college,
everything. He's going to put Bobby Petrino on Jacksonville. He's going to probably leave midseason.
And they said, did you read that story about him? They said he has been wowing in the building, like cussing people out, losing his temper, alienating people. Oh, they said Urban Meyer is tripping in Jacksonville.
Wow. He's trying to get fired, huh?
Wow. Yeah.
Yeah, that's right,
let's talk about
the.
Yeah.
Well,
we're all running between college and pros. Yeah. Wait, we'll get to the college in a quick second. Let's talk about the thoughts on Eagles after game one. Go ahead, Rob.
Hey, I mean, you know, I keep saying it's only week one, but, you know, that's all we can go off of so far. And, hey, you know, the Eagles were impressive. And the one thing we failed to remember, the Eagles had all those injuries on the offensive line last year, and now they got three of those guys back. Man, that offensive line played phenomenal. on Sunday. Jalen Hurts was able to pretty much do whatever he wanted to do, whether it was run or pass. And now, another thing, we talked about the offensive line, but the weapons. You know, one of the things the Eagles didn't have was the weapons. Devonta Smith, Jalen Reagor, got the two tight ends now. Miles Sanders, shucks. I mean, looking at that game, they look like the best team in the NFC East. I mean, defensively they play well. Fletcher Cox played
after
well
one game.
On the defensive line. Yeah, I mean, that's all we can go by right now.
But
after one game, I mean, you know, we could possibly make a case for the Cowboys, you know. But, you know, we'll see. But the Eagles, man, you got to tip your hat. They was between the offensive line and the weapons that they have on offense, and they're going to be a much-improved offensive football team than what we saw last year. And then you saw the maturation of Jalen Hurts. I mean, he even last year he showed flashes, but he never had a game this good last year, even the one when he beat the Saints last year. But that was even more impressive because he beat the Saints mainly by running the ball, but he was throwing it and running it. This past Sunday, showed a lot of accuracy as well, ran the offense well. So, I mean, definitely a team to watch, right? You know, we got to see if they can do it again this week. Yeah, I think this weekend will be a real test. I think we'll find out if Philadelphia's real or not this weekend at home against San Francisco. San Francisco might have one of the better pair of offensive and defensive lines in the league, and they're healthy too. I mean, obviously lost their running back, Raheem, but I think we'll find out if Philadelphia is for real this weekend. They're at home against the 49ers, so that'll be an intriguing game.
Let's not get too carried away because Atlanta is terrible. Like, they're bad, bad. Like, I was there and I watched that game in person, and ooh-wee.
What were you thinking?
I was sitting there like, that is – yeah, they might be picking top three in the draft next year. I'm sorry, Dre, but to see that in person, like, Matt Ryan had no chance. They didn't throw a ball. I don't think they threw a ball over 15 yards. I don't think they ran a route that they threw the ball over 15 yards. The Eagles fans was in there chanting and booing, and you thought she was in Philadelphia. It was bad to see in person. So I'm just going to wait a second. I'm like you. I want to see what happens against San Francisco, but I can't really judge them for real because Atlanta's in trouble. They're in trouble.
Yeah, I saw a good bit of that game, too. Yeah, Jalen Mayfield struggled big time, the rookie. You know, that was a guy that had a chance to, at one point to be a first or second-round pick. And, yeah, I guess you can see why he fell a little bit. I mean, he had a horrible game, and it was getting all kind of pressure on Matt Ryan. And, you know, you look at this Atlanta team, and the weapons are there, right? You know, with Kyle Pitts, albeit he's a rookie, and Calvin Ridley. And they moved the ball on those first couple of drives. They had to settle for field goals.
Yep.
And you thought they were going to be able to move the football the whole game. But it's just like after those first couple of drives, they just stopped. I mean, they couldn't move the ball at all the rest of the game. It was, you know, it's a little bit of a head-scratcher when you consider some of the weapons that they have on offense. But
well, they can't protect it. And what you saw was Philadelphia,
yeah,
just instead of playing back, they all came in and was like, if you're going to get enough time to throw right here, we dare you. And they couldn't. And that's where it stopped.
Yeah. It starts up front, and they didn't have the protection or the blocking.
Yep.
I'll make one more comment on the Cowboys. And that was, they never let Tom Brady get uncomfortable. They couldn't generate a pass rush. They couldn't touch him. And if Tom Brady does anything better than anything else, he makes sure his linemen can protect him and he gets away to that ball quickly. Now, I was impressed with my Denver team, but they lost that I guess he's not a rookie. I guess it's his second year. But I think that was a big loss for Denver. And Bridgewater
Jerry Jeudy
was pretty impressive. Also want to say, boy, the Jets, man, God, wow. I think a lot of, if you're a free agent, and you're trying to make a team, you better head down to the Jets and try your luck. You might get lucky. Man, that is, boy, that's a dumpster fire.
I believe in luck.
Yeah. Houston and Tyrod Taylor, I had to be a fan of that. I really did. That was good to see. And it was good to see Cincinnati celebrate the way they celebrated in that victory. So week one was really good. Let's see if week two can be just as good, and I think it will be. And it's going to be a great football season. We're going to miss it when it's gone. But right now, let's get it started, and let's have fun with it.
Shout out to Kobe Gossett, left guard that we picked up from Cleveland for the Falcons. I actually DJed his wedding, so I'm just happy that he's playing for the Falcons now, man. So I'm just hopeful he can unsee Jalen Mayfield. I got to give him a quick, you know, text to see what's going on. That was a dumpster fire. That's my last talking thing. We'll come back to that next week. I want to leave that alone. Hey, Rob, you want to talk about some fantasy shout-outs, if you will?
Yeah, absolutely. Where's my notes here? Sorry, I should have been ready. All right. League number one, fantasy shout-out. Let's go. League number one. Yours truly, my team had the biggest win, Death Valley, over Will's team, 185.74 to 105.50. Monsters of the Midway, Paul from Atlanta, showing in first place with a 1-0 record. Obviously scored the most points in week one with 200 points. In league number two, Chester from the New Orleans area, he had the biggest win, his team, Hawk Smash, to beat the Pellys, 162.52. to 90.78. JQ team's Ohio players showing in first place with a 1-0 record. I think JQ team scored the most points with 191, I believe, in their league. League number three, Irvin from Atlanta. Irvin's team beat Unger's crew 169.08 to 100.58. Irvin's team's also showing in first place at 1-0. In league number four, last but not least, yours truly again, my team, Flash Forward, they had the biggest win of the week, 168.32 to 84.36 over We Want All the Smoke. And William's wonderful team, Will, yeah, the famous team, We Want All the Smoke.
We Want All the Smoke. They're getting it all right. They're getting all the smoke, bro.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, man.
Will up in Madison, Wisconsin, his team is in first place. William's wonderful team with a 1-0 record. So those are the fantasy shout-outs for the week. After week number
we
one.
We Want All the Smoke. You get there, bro. We went off the smoke. We'll talk about some predictions going into the week here. Let's get this. Let's keep this out, gentlemen. Let's talk about some predictions here. We talked a little bit briefly about this, but I need everyone to go around quickly and give a quick starting off with the 49ers at the Eagles. Go, JQ.
49ers.
Rob.
I agree. You know, the Eagles are going to be here. I think the 49ers, like I said earlier, they probably got one of the best combination of offensive and defensive lines in the league and healthy this year. A lot of injuries last year. I think the Eagles maybe can keep it close, and I'm going to go 49ers 30-21.
Wow. Curtis.
Oh, 49ers. They got to keep up in the West. The West teams.
No.
They're going to beat each other up, but they got to get these other teams. So it's going to be 49ers. But they still got a lot of things to figure out. And at least a bit is who they're going to start. But they're living good right in there right now.
Lou.
All right. Repeat the options again.
Just this first one, 49ers at Eagles.
Tough one. I'm gonna go on a limb and go with the 49ers.
Nice. All right. Good deal. Nice. Raiders at Steelers. Rob. Woo! Interesting game.
Yeah, you know, I was somewhat impressed with the Raiders, but you know, I was also impressed with that Steelers defense, and the Steelers are gonna be at home. I like Pittsburgh in this one. I'm gonna go 24-20. Pittsburgh pulling it out at home.
Let's see if J.Q. is going to get through all the way.
No, they're going to win that game.
Let's see. Curtis.
Yeah, I'm going with the Steelers. But the Steelers have got to figure out that one-dimensional stuff. They got to get beyond being one-dimensional. That got them killed last year. That's going to get them killed this year. They got to run that football. They got to
go with the Steelers.
They got Najee Harris, though, so, you know, I'm pretty sure, you know, Steelers going to be fine. No one's going to be crying for them, I'm sure. So, great draft story, too. So, I'm kind of secretly a fan, even though I'm not going to piss off JQ, but just, you know, again, just a great dude, man. Let's do Rob's team, Saints at the Panthers here. And the Panthers, surprisingly, again, we got to give some love to JQ because, you know, JQ is talking about quietly how Panthers had a good offense and whatnot too. So, you know, what say you in this one, Rob?
Well, I think the Panthers are an improved football team. And, I think the Saints answered a lot of questions that I even had this past weekend. But obviously the Saints have some concerns. We've got three key players. We got a hurt in the game. And now we've got some offensive assistant coaches that tested positive for COVID. But I still think the Saints can go on the road and win this football game. I'm going to go 27-17 Saints on the road.
I agree. It's a little scary this week.
Yep. yeah. More than 7 points. And Jameis Winston gets more confidence. He gets more confidence. And that's a good thing.
Yeah, I think this is a redemption season for Jameis. He's got to treat it for that way. It's just his opportunity. It's the second time. It's the second chance.
Give us top five teams, Rob, in the NFL right now.
Well, the Buccaneers won the Super Bowl last year. They got all 22 starters back. I know they eked out a win against the Cowboys. Had to go down the field and get the last second field goal. But I'm going to still put them in the number one spot, as Ludacris would say. So, you know, we're going to leave them in the number one. and I'm going to leave the Chiefs in the number two spot right now. I know they had the Browns gave Marley a handle yet again. I know they played without Tyrann Mathieu, and there were some protection issues in that game, but they did have Myles Garrett and Jadeveon Clowney on the other side of that team, too. But I'm going to still keep the Chiefs in the number two spot in the Pat Mahomes just make up a lot of other people's mistakes. And you'll see if that offensive line gets better throughout the season. He's still got the weapons. I want to see what that defense can do as well. So I'm going to leave him in the number two spot. I got my Saints in the number three spot. Based on obviously had the biggest win of the weekend. A few concerns, as I mentioned earlier, with Lattimore with a thumb injury. He's going to be week to week. Marcus Davenport with a pectoral injury in that game, and he was outstanding before he got hurt in that game. It's hopefully going to be his breakout season. And then you lose your starting center, Eric McCoy. Looks like he's going to be gone for 5 weeks with a strained calf muscle, too. But overall, defense was phenomenal. Offensive line was phenomenal in that game. James Winston only got hit twice in the entire football game. And they were able to run the football for close to almost 200 yards between Alvin Kamara, Jameis Winston, and Tony Jones Jr. In that game. So I got them in a three spot. I got the Rams number four. Obviously, you saw what Matthew Stafford and Sean McVay can do together with those weapons and a pretty strong defense as well. And then number five, I struggled between the Seahawks and the Steelers. But I went with Russell Wilson, or putting the Seahawks up in number five position. I like the way they protected him on this past weekend. That was a huge concern. Against the Colts team, who really had a really good defense last year, too. But that was a concern for Seattle last year. They couldn't protect Russ. But he's got the weapons, and they protected him. So I got them in the number five spot right now. But I got Pittsburgh and Arizona and San Francisco lurking back there.
Yeah, I can go with that. That's what I say. It's like those bottom ones, you want to reward those NFC West teams. You got Seattle going on the road and taking care of Indianapolis, who has a really good defense, and, you know, just solidly put 28 on them. But then you got to talk about Arizona going on the road and hanging one on Tennessee. So it's like it's hard to get five right now because you saw some of the dominance for Tennessee. You didn't think you were going to see to that level, especially with all the hype we had for Tennessee's offense and what they were able to do them to hold them down and to put some kind of points on them. That's why I was like, I might want to put Arizona in that five spot just because they're awesome. Oh, they got Julio. They got A.J. Brown. They got Derrick Henry. And, you know, they just went there and just put a whooping on Tennessee. So that's the only one I struggle with because I feel like I should reward Arizona for doing that. Yeah,
absolutely.
And I was convinced. That was like, I feel like I need to give them more credit.
Yep.
Yeah, that's a good call, JQ.
Yeah.
Curtis?
I would put Kansas City as a team to beat this year. I think they go back to the third Super Bowl. And I think they go back to Bow Easy. I think they go back to win it. So I think they're number one. I'll put Tom Brady in two. I think I'm going to put the Rams in three and the Seahawks in four. And I have to see what Pittsburgh's going to do. I really do. I'll put San Fran in the fourth spot. I mean, the five spot.
San Fran, what?
Okay.
Nice. Yeah. Good stuff. Hey, we're gonna switch gears here and you wanna do your last shout out too for that one, Lou? Top five.
But I got cut off, say it again.
Top five for NFL right now.
Top five right now. It's hard to tell the first week.
Okay. Well, like I said, we can marinate into that, too. We're going to talk about what's going on with USC because, obviously, you guys know what's happening. USC got rid of their coach. We know that
already.
Urban Meyer's pretty excited about that, apparently, as we talked about in the show. But what's next? Is Lane Kiffin, licking his chops? What's going on, if you will? So what's going to happen here?
I go with that. I go with Kiffin.
I'm just joking, but yeah, go ahead.
well, we just talked about Urban Meyer and a fool at Jacksonville. He might need to return to the college ranks. And USC is a sleeping giant, right? I mean, as good as Oregon has looked so far this season, as good as UCLA looked this far this season, the Pac-12 desperately needs USC to be competitive. I mean, they are a sleeping giant. They are the football team that can get the talent. And if they get the right coach, they can be competing for national championships on a yearly basis. They have to make a splash hire here. You got to at least pick up the phone and kick the tires with Urban Meyer. Andre's good friend, Bob Stoops. That's another one. You're going to have to try to get somebody that's had some huge success on a college level. And I think, to me, if you can't get one of those two, then you got to the athletic director for USC used to be the athletic director at Cincinnati. And he's the one that hired Luke Fickle in Cincinnati. So he's another guy. He's got that Cincinnati team in the top 10 for a few years in a row now. So he's another guy that you have to take a look at if you can't get somebody like an Urban Meyer or Bob Stoops or even talking Chris Peterson to come out of retirement. somebody like that has been a proven college football coach. But if not, yeah, you got to go. And I don't even think – I know there's some people saying James Franklin from Penn State, but I'm not sure if that's the style they need at USC. But I think if you can't get Urban Meyer, Bob Stoops, or Chris Peterson, then you got to go get the coach from Cincinnati, I think, to take over that program.
Wow, what a game.
There you go, JQ.
Maybe even Matt Campbell from Iowa State, because he's a guy even NFL teams have been talking to. He's a solid recruiter, but most of all, he develops players too.
Yeah, it can't beat Iowa, though.
Iowa beat that ass this past weekend.
Yeah, game day.
What?
Cliff Corso brung out the trophy. He said, "I brought the trophy out here because it ain't been here in Ames for so long. I know the fan, y'all fans ain't seen it in a long time." Me and Eric was like,
he was throwing himself.
That's
he was
cold.
Throwing himself, man.
That shit was hilarious.
Oh, man. Let's fire through these predictions, gentlemen, because we about got 12 minutes on the show here. Let's do some quick stuff here. We got the Rob's favorite team, number one Alabama, at number 11 Florida. What say you?
Hey, I hate them, but, you know, I can't pick against them, even on the road against Florida. And, you know, yeah, got to go Bama here.
I listen, I saw that destruction they put on Miami in person and was like, I don't feel if there's anybody out there that's playing on this level again right now. If they start the season like that, they're only going to get better. Bama.
Mm-hmm.
And, Dandy, you're talking about Dandy beating Miami? Is that where
we're at? Yeah, when Bama beat Miami. Oh, yeah, that was – seeing them in person, the execution, I was like, oh, teams is in trouble. They're going to have to come ready to play.
Wow.
Yep. Bryce Young.
Yeah, five.
Yeah, they look impressive. Yeah.
So they're almost in the same shape as USC is in. Boy, what a mess. And USC, I want to say, they need to go get a pro football coach. They need to go get one of these pro coaches that are retread. And having a pro coach connected to the pro game will guarantee kids come to USC and get a connection that could be drafted. So that's what USC needs. They need a
Pete Carroll walking through that door.
Yeah, with connections that can get kids a look at. And then that's what USC needs.
Next prediction, we've got number 22, Auburn, at number 10, Penn State. Go ahead, JQ.
Listen, the Big Ten need it. They need it in the worst way. If you can't get Auburn this year, I don't know when they can ever get them. James Franklin needs it. If you talk about the Big Ten, James Franklin needs some to start racking up some kind of, you know, big wins to put on his belt. Because in a minute, he might be leaving USC because he don't want to get fired at Penn State. And you can say what you want to, but he's really behind Ohio State in the East. You got to be able to beat Michigan as well. But to me, if you're a Penn State fan, you don't feel like he's lived up to expectations. So he's got to start getting something under his belt. I think he knows that if you can't beat Auburn now, I don't know when you can. So I'm going to go with Penn State.
Yeah.
If not when, if not who.
See here too. I'm gonna pick Penn State. It's gonna be a whiteout in Happy Valley on Saturday night, and yeah, I think it's gonna be a tough environment for Auburn. I know his first 2 years as starting quarterback in Auburn, I have not been impressed with him at all. I mean, obviously, if he doesn't get it together this year, I don't know when he will. But I think Penn State is gonna be able to beat him in this game on. On Saturday night, I'm going 27-20, Penn State.
Yeah, I'm gonna say Penn State also. That was impressive what they did in Wisconsin, and Dennis Frank, the coach. Man, He's a high commodity. I think he's good for that program.
Nice. Let's go to the final one, number 19, Arizona State at number 23, BYU. Brigham Young. Go ahead, Rob.
Yeah, I might have been the only one who stayed up a little bit and watched Utah and BYU on Saturday night.
What's wrong with you?
I didn't stay up for the whole game, but I did get at least a little teaspoon of it. But I'm going to BYU here. I was impressed with them, way to beat Utah the other night. And I know Herm met with an Arizona State, so they're probably going to have those teams ready to play. But I'm going to go with BYU at home. That stadium was rocking at home against Utah the other night, and at home again. I'm going to go with BYU by at least a touchdown.
You play
Man,
to
I'm not
win
picking
the game. Hello.
I'm not picking Herm Edwards to win nothing. BYU.
You play
man,
to
you
win the game. Hello.
Come on, man. Come on, man.
Yeah.
Listen.
Yeah. This is,
we got to get Herm
this
Edwards,
is
man.
Kind of a crap game for Herm Edwards. But, yeah, since it's at BYU, they're in a little bit of trouble. And BYU, you know, they look into teams that come out of the Pac-12. When they go in the inner west, teams, that's their Super Bowl. And they try to jump on these teams. And Arizona State is in a little bit of trouble going up there.
Hey, BYU trying to make the Big 12 look good if they can win back-to-back games against the Pac-12.
They're going to try.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to try. Let's wrap us up. We're almost wrapping the show here. Rob, let's talk about this this surprisingly pretty solid 2022 recruiting class for Iowa State, Rob, go ahead.
Yeah. So, you know, obviously when you look at Iowa State, you know, this is not a program that's going to be in the top 10 in recruiting on a year-to-year basis. But prior to Matt Campbell getting there, I think the highest their program ever was at was maybe like 46 or 47 in the country in recruiting. So they are right now they're number 27 in recruiting. And they got some key recruits that they're in the verge for, too. They can definitely move into the top 25, which Iowa State has never. For them to be preseason ranked in the top 10, they've never been in the top 25 in national recruiting. So they got some pretty good four-star players. And then you look at their recruiting. Man, they're talent-based. They're recruiting all over the country. I mean, they got some four-star players from right here in Tampa that they've been able to come in here and recruit. Obviously, they got some players from Iowa. They got some players from Florida, Wisconsin, Maryland. So Matt Campbell obviously is doing a solid job with that program. I don't know what he's got in Florida, but he's recruiting Fort Lauderdale and Tampa pretty heavily. He's got some 3- and 4-star recruits from those areas. So, and also he's been able to sign some players out of Texas as well and Ohio.
That's why he's so sought after. Convince these brothers from Tampa Bay and Fort Lauderdale to go to Ames, Iowa. You are one hell of a recruiter because I'm not going.
JQ ain't going.
Just saying.
Oh, goodness.
Come on, leave the camp to go to Ames, Iowa? Hell no.
Not in their quarterback, man.
Oh, my God.
Man, listen. We
gave him full ride.
I ain't trying to go to Ames.
Full ride.
Like I said, unless you have a choice, that's different. But if you choose it, Iowa State over other schools that also want you to be their quarterback on a full ride, that dude is recruiting his ass off.
Oh, man.
Oh,
a quick preview.
Ohio State. They regroup. Ohio State, they regroup, and they dominate the Midwest. That was a wake-up call for Ohio State, and that probably woke them up. So I expect them to be trying to get in that playoff game. And that's what a lot of teams are looking for. And that's what the Pac-12 is looking for. They want to get in that playoff game.
Yeah. Well, I tell you what, they may have a shot if they could either run the table or maybe end up in the season with just one loss, because Clemson may be done, because you look at their schedule, they don't have any lead opponent the rest of this year. And,
nope.
You know, so if you get an Oregon, for example, if Oregon somehow gets in undefeated or they get in with one loss, you got to put them in over Clemson just because they're going on the road and beating Ohio State. And I know Oregon has got some key players out. I mean, they just got one of the star linebackers who's out for the season right now. That's going to really hurt them too. But, Clemson, it's going to be hard for them to get back into that top four. It really is. But you look at their – I don't think they have another ranked opponent. Maybe North Carolina. I think might be the only ranked opponent they still have left on this. So what?
If they stay in it. If they stay in it.
That's the top 25. The way North Carolina offensive line looked in that first week against Virginia Tech, that's a big doubt. I mean,
they took care of
against Georgia State this past weekend, but that's Georgia State.
Right. That's what I'm saying. Like, SEC struggle. It might be Pitt, though, because Pitt is 2-0, and they just beat Tennessee. So you might get Pitt to sneak it to, like, at 23 or something, if they can hang in that bottom 20. No,
20-25.
Yep. Gentlemen, we got 4 minutes or 3 minutes now, so I'm not sure we're gonna get a chance to talk really briefly about the NFL preview. Maybe we can say that for next week. There's been some rumbling about the Houston Rockets and trying to trade for John Wall. Just keep an eye on that situation too. You saw that, right? You know, I think he's owned like 90 or something crazy like that. It's like, I don't even know how that's even going to be possible, bro. So, I mean.
Well, you know what? I shouldn't laugh because I didn't think Chris Paul could be traded, and I damn sure didn't think Russell Westbrook could be traded twice with that contract. So.
Yeah.
Maybe.
They decided to go with Kevin Porter Jr. and Jalen Green as the backcourt, too. So, obviously, he's looking at John Wall's
opportunity
to widen the wall, too. And Russell was, Harden's gone. So what the hell is that? So he's like, I'm not really, sounds like a rebuilding project too. So who needs a point guard that's got this energy that's going to pay, $91 million is a question, if you will, right?
Right.
Yeah. Well, Kevin Porter took some promise toward the end of the year last year. And then, of course, we saw Jalen Green, what he did in summer league. So, I mean, that's obviously a young backcourt that they can develop.
Right. Yeah. I mean, anyway. I don't know. It's just situations too. I don't even know. We'll keep that. Hey, gentlemen, let's go ahead and wrap this up. We know we got to literally have probably like 2 minutes here. Ooh, I need to go ahead and get the music queued up here. Do you have any last things to say? Let's go ahead and wrap this up, Rob, because we're literally at the 2 minute mark. So let's go ahead and get this going here, if you will.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, thank you all for tuning in to another great edition of Talking Sports with the 12th Man. It's been fun. Obviously, we're going to be right back at you on next Tuesday night, 11 p.m. Eastern, for our fans and listeners on the East Coast, 10 p.m. in Chicago. It's going to be 9 p.m. in JQ's favorite city, Albuquerque, and 8 p.m. for his other favorite city in Fresno. So don't miss it on next Tuesday night. Shout out to everyone. Thanks for dialing in. We look forward to week number 3 in college football, week number 2 in the NFL. We'll have all our recaps for you on next Tuesday night. You definitely don't want to miss it. Good night, people.
Boy, you are a fool. I ain't gonna be in none of them cities. I appreciate y'all for listening to the show. We holler at y'all next week. It's time to go night-night.
It is time to go night-night. I see you rocking that. So is that Florida A&M? What are you rocking? That's the HBC that you're rocking? What's that? Nice. Okay, I got you. Okay. The Stripers.
Florida in
there?
Yes. No, nice. I had to go to work. I was at Gwinnett.
Gotcha. Good deal. Gentlemen.
Yeah. Andre's been on the borderline. He just held it together. He almost fell asleep a time or two toward the end.
No, I did not, bro. No, man. I don't know what you're talking about, man. I'm trying to keep track of everyone, folks going off the rails. I'm trying to keep you guys corralled, trying to make sure the topics are good because, again,
I want to get through. I want to get through all the topics, but it just never seems to. You know, every time I try to like do some strategies, keep it going. But it was a good night as always too. So you know, obviously, and I feel like JQ just a terrible week for my Falcons, if you will too. So we're feeling like you know, damn. So but, and then they sent out emails like, hey guys, they sent out like marketing emails afterwards like, hey, check out these the new Falcon gear. Like, man, no one's buying any Falcon gear. It's like a poorly timed email that comes through like, yo, 22% off.
Like, yeah, like no player.
So it's just like, man, therapy, but it's all good. All right, guys, have a great
that was a big win for the Bengals, man. JQ had a good weekend.
That's what I'm saying. He should be happy about that. But you know, clearly
I am, but my Reds is blowing it. The Buckeyes blew it. I was like, you know what? That was the only thing I had was the Bengals, and they tried to blow it. They got fired, Zach Taylor. That fool went for it on 4th and 1 from his own 30. I said, what are you doing? If you don't punt the ball, and they probably didn't get it and gave him a touchdown 2 plays later, I was sitting there like, you jackass. Why would you do that? The defense only gave him 7 points to that point. You got to punt that ball, bro. This ain't Madden.
He was still
confident. One of Curtis saying, well, LSU looked like doo-doo against McNeese State. So it might be a long year. They won the game, but they looked like doo-doo.
Oh, my gosh, man. That's not good. That's not good. Oh, man. All right. But, like, we thought – but Jamar Chase definitely came out. That was good to see him play well, bro. So, you know, just that was good to see that as well.
I guess he learned how to catch an NFL football.
NFL football, yeah. I can't wait to say that shit out loud.
Like, come on, Jamal.
Yeah, you can't say that.
Guys, have a great rest of your week, man. It's been a long, long weekend. So let's have some fun. Be safe. Keep those texts coming, as always. And, Rob, let us know everything goes with Gary, too, as well, sir. So keeping all that, too.
All right,
gentlemen. Have a great rest of your week. Be good, okay? Peace.
Good night, people.
All right, y'all.
Good night.
Good night, y'all.